That'll be good.
So, great episode. Like to thank our Patreon.
Yeah, that was a nice episode, dude. Quick one. Holy.
No, I just figured I'd start recording because you're talking about your office, and I'm like, all right, let's just get into it.
I mean, dude, welcome in to another episode. And we are here right in my wonderful basement. More stuffies by the day. I just decided to let them live here. I now take them in and ambassador them because there's too many stuffies in my house. So they come down and they're like, oh, that's where my stuffy went. I was like, hey, you brought him down here. He wanted to hang out with Mario. That's up to you, you know? So, and dude, it just doesn't, how you've got a good handle on things over there, but like, I somehow can't go 1 week without a new stuffy being added to our pile. Like, it is literally madness. Whether it's just someone somehow,
I don't know where they come from. It's the same here. I don't know where half the stuff in our house comes from.
We got a wiener dog and like a sloth unicorn this week. And I said, what, where did these magically appear from? And Papa was in town. So there we go. That was a huge thing this weekend. Papa, I totally forgot. I got all kinds of stuff. I was like, man, I didn't do much since I saw you last. And I was like, oh, wait, like all I
it's did always
was
that. Stuff
all weekend.
It's always like that. You're like, man, I really feel like I haven't done anything. Then you have to go back and really think, and you're like, okay, I did quite a bit. I just got back from Dama and the D.
Oh, dude, let's just talk about that. I have zero upload. I haven't talked to Cody Grizz yet about his trip. So
Dama D was a prime example of not really feeling like you did anything, but going back and looking at it, you're like, wow, I crushed it. Like, we did so much stuff. First of all, it started off like this was probably one of the best Dom in the D's that I've ever been to.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah, just from the squad driving up there was me, Gucci, Clay, and Cody. Mm-hmm. Like all in the same whip driving up. Everybody met here, got to stay a night here, play with the kids, had a lot of fun, mm-hmm. and then took off, and we decided just to take our time and road trip it. So we stopped by Warren Dunes State Park and climbed around on sand dunes. I still realized, yeah, it's like, so we got to run around on the sand dunes, shoot some photos, shoot some videos, just chill. And I still realize I'm still the youngest person on the team.
Somehow you're the youngest. Yeah.
It's like, I'm the only one sprinting up the dunes and then full send, like jumping down them. I was like, Mike, you guys got to do this. It feels like you're in a dream. You just jump as far as you want. And then you land in a hill and sand and there's no impact. And everyone's like, oh, we're good. Oh. So I'm still the youngest person on GT.
Nice.
Get
wrecked, Gucci.
Yeah. Get wrecked, everyone.
Yeah.
No, geez. It was just super fun. And then
Ben
may
have done some flips with you.
Yeah, maybe.
I was trying to rack my Bane real quick. I was like, that's not actually true. Wait a sec. I was like, Ben would do a double cork, you know, down the dunes for sure.
But yeah, it's just fun to make a road trip out of it and
yeah.
allow yourself some time to make these little stops. And it was awesome. And mm-hmm. then we got to Dom and the D. And well, we got to Detroit to the Kendama Depot House, which was probably the one of the most phenomenal places I've ever stayed. It was incredible.
Really?
Yeah. Massive place, 4 floors. Each floor had its own kitchen and jukebox and living room. It was like a multifamily home or like a there were 4 units originally, yeah. and then they just merged them all together in this one crazy complex.
Wow.
So yeah, and there were a ton of people. It was really cool to be able to reconnect with everybody and stay in the mix. That's where I acquired a skag line and his friend Alex. And
Skags was there.
Yeah. Then it was me, Cody, and Skags were like just
growing it up. I can just envision you fools just having
the greatest time. Silly, but it was cool to stay in the mix because I don't know, as I get older, like I'm like, I'm going to stay in a hotel where it's chill and I have my bed and everything's good. And this year I was like, no, we're going to go stay in the Depot House. And MJR found one of the most amazing places, Motown B&B, if you want to check it out. has its own hashtag.
The fact that there's a Depot House, you know, is kind of a, it, the fact that it's a thing is insane and really epic on MJ to like be doing that for everyone. It's kind of sick that like you could like pick an event, ask MJ real nice, and you have a place to stay at a very reasonable amount, and like you make friends if you don't have any. Like there's literally, it's like a traveling NACO kind of, like, yeah, you know what 100%. I mean? It brings the NACO vibe to whatever event it's at, to be like, yeah, if you want to be where everyone's at, here it is.
Yeah.
Like nice and simple.
It's a huge undertaking. I mean, imagine renting an Airbnb and having 30 people, most of them you don't even know, staying in it, like
giving you loot. Like, yeah.
It's kind of nuts. just trusting everyone to be chill. And with this Airbnb hosting, or like holding that many people, it never felt crowded. It never, people were quite responsible. Like it was very, very cool. Just so proud of the Kendama community.
Yeah, dude, epic.
So yeah, that part was incredible. And then the contest was just super chill. The DKT crew has it down now. This freestyle went off without a hitch. Timers were on point, judges on point, DJ on point. Dan Smith had screens with the bracket and the timer. So emceeing was amazing.
Wow.
It was nice. Super fun. Just all in all, fantastic job on DKT's part with the event this year. And yeah, it just kept going and we just broed out. I didn't have a booth, so I just messed around. I sold some knuckle bones here and there, but like, I wasn't standing behind a booth, so I got to run around and hang out with people. So it was a big reconnecting event for me. It's like, all right, let's go back and let's just reconnect with Kendamas, you know?
Yeah. Did you compete at all?
No. There's no reconnecting with competing. I never liked it.
You know, I had to ask. I figured, you know, every now and then you throw your hat in the ring if someone needs a spot filled. So
for sure. Mm-hmm. But it was just a fun. I just ran around with my camera, did my thing, you know?
Yeah.
It just felt good. I also played a TK16 the entire time I was there.
You did do that.
Yeah. So, and everyone loves a TK16. I want to say MVP Kendama of the entire trip. The entire event was my TK16. Everyone wanted to sesh the TK, and it was like carrying around a relic that everyone was excited to play. Even at the after parties, like, oh, let me sesh a TK. So,
do you know how many people had never played a JKA Dama who tried it? Like, were there a bunch of people who were like, oh, never played JKA, dude, this is sick, or this
quite,
is weird.
There were quite a few.
Were like a majority, you'd say?
About half and half.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was great. And then after the event, just
Club 7 3/4 go down or what?
There was no Club 7, but we did have an epic. We have a new event called Domin in the B. It's at the after party, so it's Domin in the basement. It's in Dan's basement.
Yeah,
I hosted 20-second freestyle runs, judged by the audience. Cody was on shotgun duty, so like randomly in your freestyle run, you might get handed a beer and have to shotgun it.
Oh my God.
It was chaos and it was super fun. Right. We ran back the finals between Truman and Jacob.
Oh, that sounds epic. Two epic Kendama players just shotgunning beers and freestyling.
Oh yeah. It was absolutely hilarious. And to run back the finals like that was great.
Yeah, dude. Oh my goodness.
So all in all, A+ event. And I just had fun. And that's,
it's the ultimate homie event, and you described it as such, right? Like it was.
But
I just wasn't having a booth.
Yeah, but I just also want to say that I'm very proud of the DKT crew. Like last year and a few years before, like the event just had stuff that was just not good. It was just like there was no clear leadership. There was people like no one was really taking a hold of it. And last year, got some drinks in me and I let everyone know what was going on and like how I really felt about it. And, they really took it to heart and they said, we're not doing that again. So this year they aced it, I'd say. So
that's beautiful, man. That's so good to hear.
Yeah. So really, really proud of the DKT crew. So big ups, guys.
Awesome. Shout out to DKT squad, dude. It's an event that is dear in my heart, and hopefully I can make it back again some year. That's for sure, dude. Just gets to that point where I can't do every event. I want to do every event, but at some point you got to choose a couple. And with Europe coming up for like a week and a half, it's like, oh, man. And I was just somewhere else, Las Vegas. Oh, that was the one I chose. I was like, I'm going to go to Las Vegas for the first time and figure it out. And I'm glad Cody was there. Coop was there, able to represent a little bit.
Oh, dude. So also,
Cam Coop, obviously is part of DKT. So, like, he is.
I want to say, too, like, Coop's freestyle run was one of my favorites to watch. Oh, my God. He just busted all the classic Coop, just perfection. It was so fun to watch. And he did a great job because it's like I haven't seen Coop play in person in a while. Yeah. And to see him go on stage, just kind of like chill Coop, smile and just boom, hit all the good stuff and really gave the audience a great show. So it was great to see that.
Yeah, he knows his wheelhouse nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just all there is to it. And he doesn't like open. So, like, freestyle is kind of like where he likes to kick it. So, and he's had success in the recent future, like recent past. He has done pretty well just doing what you said, being Coop, just kind of chilling out on stage and giving a vibe. And if you hit a few spikes, that goes a long way when you got tricks no one else is doing and you're doing it with style. Like, it's how you move forward, I think, in freestyle as well. It's the same kind of thing. Coop's just a smidge above when he does his lean houses and when he does his like things that most
the throw
of us are like,
the like around the neck, it's like spacewalk stuff. Like, oh, dude, it was the best one I've ever seen. It was the best one I've ever seen. Oh, it was so good. Dude. So yeah, shout out to that.
I came up with that trick with that dude in the Coop's room like when he was like needed a last trick for his video, or he had like a couple tricks and he's like, dude, I gotta do something, I don't got any spacewalk tricks. And I was like, ah, dude, I've been messing with this thing, like, what about this around the neck thing, blah blah blah. And of course Coop takes what I was doing and made it look 8 times cooler, and I was like, well, put that in the video for sure. Like, you need that. And then he's done it, dude, ever since. And then Bonds has gotten good at it. It's like it's a trick that no one's expecting. So when you do it, it's a huge shock, and it's not that hard if you practice it. So it's like, in judges' minds, it elevates your run a ton. So if you're listening to this and you do freestyle, take that trick from Coop and take it from Bonds. Go watch their freestyles, because it really is a trick. Like, as a former judge, it doesn't matter if you're a beginner or a best player in the world. That's a trick that everyone's going to go, oh, shit. Like, if you could pull that off on stage, you're good to go.
It's like also highly finesse based. So it's going to take some practicing and like working it in, and just like, you got to be ready to
something to go into it. Right?
You got to be ready for every judge to compare your version of it to Coop's.
That's actually,
you know, it's like, that I've seen Coop do it, and that was this good try. You know,
I guess there is that part of it, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of like signature stuff like that, I feel like, in Kendama, but this year's freestyle was great. It was just a really good, and one of the things that we talked about that we kind of realized was I got to see so much Cody and so much Skagline, and at the same time I got to see like my team, like the GT squad there was Clay and Gucci, and we all spent so much time together. And one of the realizations was, if Skags had a bunch of like Chrome people there, we wouldn't be seeing Skags, you know?
Sure.
And if Cody had a huge like Sweets crew, like, we wouldn't be seeing Cody as much. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice to be able to have like a more condensed crew, and then just kind of, we all got to see each other more. And it was awesome.
Best of both worlds. Kind of vibe.
It was so good just to be able to hang out and like chill. Like, it,
yeah.
I mean, it was chill, but everyone was still productive. I guess that goes back to the beginning of what I'm saying, is like, it was productive in the fact that we got to chill, but also got to have a bunch of realizations. Like, just letting people run around and play the new beta was like giving me so much more confidence in the shape. And being
nice.
Everyone really likes this, you know?
Yeah.
And then like just talking with like just the three of us talking about just Kendama, and just having the three industry people there and experiences and whatnot, just eye opening. And then just knowing that I Gucci created a whole new show while we were there. He's going to be releasing that at some point.
Oh, sick.
And then, yeah, Clay just crushing it throughout the event. Both players did really good in the event. And just the reconnecting part was the productive part.
Yeah.
So,
well, it sounds like creativity was flowing though too, like bouncing ideas off people who you don't usually bounce ideas off of is something, like, because everyone's so receptive, right? Like if you're in a, you bounce ideas off the same people every day, it's like, okay, bro, like, no, that's a bad idea. That's a bad idea. It's, but when you talk to a bunch of people you never talked to about your ideas, at least they spin it in a good way. And then conversation moves and good ideas come. Like it's a different vibe. And that's refreshing, dude. It's so cool that you're able to do that.
Yeah, it was definitely, it was one of my favorite events that I've been to like this year, as far as like the, it was just different for me because.
You've been to a lot of events though, right? And especially Dama and the D's. So like they're all unique. And so that's cool to have a favorite one come up because that doesn't happen all the time.
It was the best Dama and the D I've ever been to, straight up.
Ah, like, geez. Gosh darn it. We've been to, there's so many good ones, bro.
There's so many good ones. But this was like, the contest was aced. The vibes were aced. And
Money. Shout out DKT. Killing it. Yes. Go next year if you can make it happen, dude.
Oh yeah, speaking of party, do you guys know this party trick to how to open a beer with a kendama? Do you know how to do this?
Are you kidding? Yeah, of course. Yes, okay. Yes. I love doing that.
So like if you guys are watching on the Patreon, like I'm gonna have to do it on my knee. So take your base, you're gonna grab it kind of like the lighter here, and you're just gonna pull up with this finger and push down with your palm.
Ain't no thing.
And it doesn't really do too much. Like you might get some knock marks on your base cup, but you only chip your base cup if you're shitty at opening a bottle with a can.
Yeah. Dude, Luzumaki reminded me when I was talking to him recently that in 2014, I went to Korea after I'd just been in Japan for the Miso tour, and I had a sparkling green Miso. And he's like, I'll never forget the day I met you, because at the table when we were about to eat dinner, you opened your beer with the Mugen and I about died.
Yes.
And I was like, what are you like? I couldn't have cared less, right? Because I had already smashed it to the ground and it was just my Dama. And so I was like, whatever. But in his mind, that was this moment where he's like, who is this guy? Think he is opening beers with his Mugen, you know? Do you know the trick how to do do you know how to open it with a napkin?
You smash it against your head, then clean yourself off? Like what?
No, yeah. I can open a beer bottle with numerous amounts of things you wouldn't imagine, but a napkin is like the best bar trick in the world. I'll teach you.
Like a twist off? Like a twist off or a pop off?
No, I could open your stomach with a napkin. Next time we hang out, test me. Don't forget.
Okay. I love opening bottles with random stuff.
Europe, dude, I'll teach you because it's a fun trick. Don't look it up on YouTube chat. Just wait till you see me in person and ask me. And then if I don't do it, I'll buy you a beer. How about that? That's my test to everyone. Test me. And if I can't do it, I'll buy you a beer.
We should have a speed ladder where it's like six pack and a kendama. Like who can open them the fastest?
Don't you got some EKC thing planned? Don't you have some activation? Let me help do that.
That'd be so epic. The boop, 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 chat, 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 chat.
All they do is open beers with things over there. They don't have twist offs. So
yeah,
it'd be perfect.
That would be fun. Okay. Like Speed Trick B has a world record, all that. Like we need the fastest six pack opened with the kendama.
Dang, just a kendama. I mean, I'm down. A kendama is just as good as a lighter. Like,
of course. It's better than a lighter.
Yeah, you can smackington those caps right off.
Just
especially the new beta.
Yeah, the new beta, the best for opening. Superior bottle opening.
Beta, more like beer bottle opener. All right.
Yeah, so that's a fun party trick.
Yeah.
I don't know how much. No, we can do with that, but
no, it's okay. dude, something you said reminded me of Bonds. And then today I streamed, as I do when we record recently, I guess, and we watched Bonds's 2016 edit to join Crom. Do you remember he was in Denmark for like 2 weeks and he filmed
Dude, edit's one of my favorites, dude. Emil.
Emil is epic. First off, he's one of my favorite Kendama editors, videographers of all time. Urban Explorers, you know, he was insane mm-hmm. with it. But like the tricks Bonds was doing, dude, is actually still stupid. Like it's if someone tried to recreate his tricks, it would take them a really long time. And the other funny thing about Bonds that when I was watching, even 8 years ago, bro, is insane. There was almost no tricks that he just went in on. So he does the craziest trick, tap, juggle to lunar combo mm-hmm. thing you've ever seen, 20 pieces long. And at the end, he's going, jug, tap, tap, jug, spike, you know? And he's never just popping it in. And I was like, I always revered Bonds as like one of the best players and mm-hmm. always thought he was the best. But then today, it like, I haven't talked about him in a while because I've been doing all this legend stuff, and somehow like he fits in this weird part of history where he was like the people he inspired I have not talked to yet. You know what I'm saying? So he's kind of like been off my radar until today. I talked to Tio. He was my interviewee today of the thing, and like Bonds was on his list of like people that like inspired him and stuff in the beginning. And I was like, dude, you're like one of the first people that I've talked to that is like that young in Kendama to like have Bonds on that level of like, yeah, he was the dude, like he was murdering it and I wanted to kill it like him. And today was just one of those realizations where our history is just big for only being 14 years into it now for myself as a company, like an American Kendama essentially as a whole. So it's crazy that it's so big that a person like Bonds can just like slip my memory, even though he is so impactful for so many years, because he's going to be at EKC. And I was like, dude,
yep.
If Bonds puts any work in the next 3 weeks, there's no reason he can't go on stage against Yasu and give him the hardest match of the whole weekend. And it could be the coolest. Dude, I got goosebumps saying it, because like literally Bonds is one of those people who has more championships in freestyle and has the IQ for freestyle competition like Yasu does, that like, I assume he's going to make it a few rounds just based on that, if he has been practicing, which it looks like from a few of his videos. But it was, I don't know, it was just weird to like be like, oh yeah, Bonds. And then I was like, dude, we get to watch Bonds play Kendama in 3 weeks. And I was like, this feeling came over me like, dude, that is, he's one of those dudes who I wish could just play Kendama every day like he did for many years, you know. But you gotta, sometimes real life gets in the way. And as we all know, like it's kind of been a theme as of this last year. But it doesn't mean that a person like Bonds can't like turn on the practice button for the next few weeks and come through with tricks we have never seen, probably, because you know he watches Yasu's freestyle. You know he is in touch and has exactly an idea of what's going to happen with Takuya being there and Nanoka. I mean,
Bonds was throwing UFO lunars on stage like no one has seen that before. If there's anyone that can give Yasu run for his money, it's Bonds. Like Bonds knows, yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, and because he just knows. And Bonds, yeah, I would love to see that matchup in a final run. If Bonds puts it, if Bond gets the competitive bug, he can do it. But Bonds has to get the competitive bug. And for there was a while where Bonds was competitive, and then he was like, nah, I don't got to prove anything anymore. I'll just get up there, compete, have fun, and then go do my thing. So he kind of lost his competitive drive. So I wonder if any of this, or maybe him even seeing Yasu, could reignite that competitive edge and being like, oh, this guy's essentially doing what I've been doing, but just with like a modern twist and painting his face, and he's monstrously younger than I am. So
I mean, he's competed at, he's definitely been on stage against him in Catch and Flow when he was much younger, right? I think it's like, yeah, the competitive bug is definitely, like you said it, you like, that's one thing I didn't even think about. Like, did Tio ask him to be part of freestyle, or did Bonds ask Tio if he could compete?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question that needs to be answered to like solve our questions. Because the other thing is, it's Europe. Bonds hasn't been with the homies in a really long time. Yeah, even if you have jobs in Europe, it's hard not to get caught up in the camaraderie of friends and drinking beers and you know, doing what you do as a 21-year-old in Amsterdam, you know what I'm saying? So it's there's all of those factors too that for everyone factor into the day of how serious they're taking the competition part of it. Cause there's two factors. There's no doubt as an American, there's two reasons you're going. One is to get to know European players, to get to meet other people, to have a good time in Europe. The second is to compete. And you nailed it on the head where how much does that matter to the Americans coming who are trying to like make a point? And to your point, Bonds, it could be like 0%. And I still think he could make it to the finals if he just has good runs. But like, everyone that's coming is coming. Cause like last year, you don't think like the other Japanese homies are like, yo, we can do what Yasu did. We, like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like Takuya is going to be like, what up? Like, I'm here too. Nonoka just went battle at the border. You don't think she wants to prove some stuff? Like,
of course.
And I keep naming Japanese players, like the European homies who were in the crowd watching everything.
Dude, we get to see Mr. Phlox. We get to see Mr. Phlox on stage live.
He ain't coming. I thought he ain't coming. I heard he is not coming anymore.
No, no, no. Don't tell me this.
As of my last stream, someone told me he had bailed.
As of talking with Tio?
No.
Okay, we need to confirm this because I'm going to be pissed. Because I'm DJing the final round of freestyle for the qualifiers.
Wow.
And I have custom tailored each song. And I was just really excited about Mr. Phlox's song. Phlox, you get the Phlox to EKC. I don't give a Phlox.
I mean, dude, honestly, he's the person I talk about on my stream most that I've never met ever. And I would love
dude, to see what the first does three.
In person. Like, that's all I want in my life is to go, oh my God, you can actually do those tricks in front of my face? Because they're literally physics-defying tricks, and I won't go into it, but I hope he's there, bro. It's like yo-yo people on stage.
All he has to do
is hit one trick to make everyone go. Like, it's like, it's literally magic. It's magic.
And people are dying to see it in person. People are dying to see it in person. But I'm just going to read off like group F. Wait, did he post this? I just don't want to like blow up something that because he sent it to me. Basically, it's the list of
I think you have something that no one else has. Dude.
No, it's just the list of the final group.
Oh, okay.
I'm just gonna check the Instagram real quick because like that was the last thing I want to do is like blow it up. Because I mean, Tio's also just been posting like crazy on. Okay, it hasn't been posted yet, so I'm not going to say it. But I'll just say this. It is the most stacked last round of freestyle I've ever seen in text. It's just like me going through, it's like every single person on this list is an absolute superstar of Kendama. Like,
and you can't wait to watch them compete
again. Yeah, and I can't wait to watch them compete and everybody go in. So. And I'm really excited to play the music for everybody because I get to DJ that part of the event, which is going to be super fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Stacked with so many. I mean, that was another thing dude teased today. It was like, the music's going to be on fire. Like
as it is with EKC. Also just want to bring this up with Tio about Tio. Tio's just coming off a fresh W at BKO.
Oh,
just
right?
Took the win in open. So I just love how like Tio is like organizing the European contest. He's like, I'm going to take a break from organizing this and go just run game on BKO, take the win, and then just go back to organizing the one of the most rowdy, biggest Kendama events in the world. So shout out to Tio.
He wasn't even going to compete. And someone's like, dude, you need to compete. And then he was like, okay. And then of course they've like held some of Void's standards to the trick list. And so there are like Void tricks that you kind of just got to know. And if you know, then you're good to go for the comp. Yeah. If you pull it, you know what I'm saying? By the way, the Void went to the event, BKO, his first event in 5 years. And he emailed me this week.
An email from the Void?
It said, I almost want to pull up. I should just pull it up just so I don't miss. Because it's a great, like, tagline of an email where I was like, this isn't spam, right?
Did it come up like the Matrix? Like a little like blinking green dot? It's like, this is the void.
I saw it as that, yes. Email address, the void, is literally what I have. And then it's, yes. Six is quite a number. And for those of you who don't know, I am a six Dawn JKA master. I've gone through all the levels, and I am one of the only Americans to achieve that feat, if not like the only one. And the first person outside of the JKA in Japan to ever do that was the Void. And me and the Void for many years, like, attended the same events and tried to get Six Dawn before one another, along with Alex Royce, who was kind of in that race. And he ended up beating me and then kind of like stopped Kendama. Like, once he got his Six Dawn, it was kind of like this weight off of your shoulders that you don't have to grind for anymore. And with that came the influx of American Kendama and mm-hmm. tricks changing and the world changing. And so the Void kind of like disappeared. He didn't know I got my sixth Dawn, and I got it before COVID. So it was like,
yeah,
2019 or something. I got it. And he was like, you know, it was just really cool because he's the only other person that knows what I went through to like do that. And like, his words were really kind. And he brought up like times when I had gone through my Dawn test and like forgot things that I said. And he was like, dude, remember when you said this, like, I'm going to do this and I don't care how many times. And like, dang near made me cry reading this email because I was like, man, like, no one cares about my sixth Dawn. And that's kind of what he said in the email too. He's like, no one cares. Like, no one knows what you did or cares what tricks you had to land. Cause it's, even to Kendama people, it almost doesn't matter. Like, it only matters if you care about it type of vibe. And the one human in the world who cares about it, you know, next to Royce and a few other like close friends, like emailed me out of the blue after 6 years. And it's kind of like, I don't know, dude, it's just weird things like that make your day and make your week and kind of go, you know, that's old school Kendama. Like, I was like, I'm not part of this. Like, I'm part of what started back then with the Void, you know, and we helped change what the Void was doing, because he was the groundwork before us, dude.
Yeah.
He had forums and he had competitions and he was trying to be goofy like you, dude, and make his own tricks and make Kendama fun because he was sick of JK and doing things the same way. And I like, it's fucked up that like I see that now, 10 years later, 11 years later, so clear. But in the moment when he is getting mad at me for doing dead body wrong, a trick I just learned the other day that he made up and I wanted to kill him, it's like, such a full circle of like, like, that's what's great about Kendama. That's like, he was not following the rules and was telling everyone else to fuck off and don't come to my competition if you don't want to do it. And like, that's what you do like in a different way, you know. But like, it's so crazy how the essence of that, you know, transpires. And like, how before we ever started Kendama, he was sick of what was already being done in competitions, right? Like, it's, I don't know. It was just this cool moment where I reflect on the history as the interviewee or interviewer, and I ask people about their history. And so it's cool to like have someone else from history reach out to me and be like, yo, dude, what's up? Like,
so did you secure the Void on your show?
I haven't. I severely thought about asking him. Yeah. But no,
he's
I haven't.
The Void is like the rarest Pokemon in Kendama. Like, he's
what would he be?
Just what? The Void. It's there's Murkrow. There's gonna be if I can get a Void full art, that'd be insane. No, but it's just the idea. Yeah, he's been doing it for so long, and he was such a prominent figure in the days before us too. Mm-hmm. But I have never met the Void. I've met almost everybody in Kendama, and I've never stood in front of the Void.
Wow, dude.
That's one of my goals. That's a top level.
Dude. Yeah. It's so crazy. It's because, dude, in the beginning of Kendama, that was like my connection point to Europe, because when I started Sweets, like, part of what I want to do is reach out. Like, I was like, I need to learn what people are doing in Europe and people are in Japan. And so the only events we could go to were like the juggling events that mm-hmm. Void was, and So that's why we went to the EJC those first couple of years. And that's where like I met the Void. And I went to Void's like birthday party. He threw like unknowingly. So I went to EJC.
Oh, I want to go to the Void's birthday party. Void, invite me. Please.
Listen to this story. I went to the EJC the 1 year. The next year, I was like, okay, I won essentially. I was the first American. Tomoya Mukai beat me, but like by one trick and whatever. And I was the first American. So I was like, I'm going to go back. I'm going to take the championship. And this is when I could still do all the tricks and whatever. I didn't like read into it. It was like, come to Leeds. We're going to have the event. We'll have the BKA or whatever the competition was. We're going to camp out at this one place. We have cabins, so we'll eat there and food will be provided and blah, blah, blah. So it sounded like a cool, like EJC type of vibe, you know, out in the woods. Yeah. And we get there and it's a smaller group of us Kendama players in like a cabin out in the middle of nowhere on some like yoga farm, whatever. And the Void is vegan and vegetarian. And so we get there and it's all vegetarian meals the whole weekend, even if you're not like, and it was one of those things where I was like, didn't know what I was getting myself into before somehow I got to Leeds, like England. Cause like, I'd never been there. Don't know anybody. Second trip to Europe. And I found myself in north of Leeds. And one of the homies from Japan, who I think last week we talked about all the writing on the cups and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The sensei.
He was there. Yeah. He was there. He's the one who knotted my Mugen.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He had a flute and he would flute the cows every morning, the cows that weren't his. He would play the flute to them and they would all come to him in the morning and he would serenade them in the morning and then they would leave, bro. It was like I have so many minuscule stories. You know, Joris, who was sponsored by Kusa, he was there. Wase was there with me. And I slept in like a hammock like between two trees and that's property, and Wase slept on like cushions in the middle of like the forest. Like it was because none of us were prepared. Like we didn't know we were, like we knew we were camping, but we thought it was like there'll be places,
a cabin or something like that.
Yeah, no, it was, we were toast. But the Void, it was just funny because the Void's favorite band, he hired them to come to this cabin in the middle of the woods on his birthday night. And we, 20 of us, like rocked out to his favorite band in the world. And it was one of the coolest, like most weird, unique Kendama trips of my life, because we were in the middle. So in Leeds, there's like nothing. Like it's pretty, it's like as redneck as England gets kind of vibe. Like we were out there, you know what I'm saying, with the sheep and the fence posts, you know, for miles. And but at night you could see the sky, bro, like you have never seen a sky in your whole entire life, like stars and galaxies that like you didn't know existed because you're so far away from light pollution. And oh dude, there was this insane, I'm sorry, I'm just explaining this insane trip going to Leeds. There was like a Lion King tree, you know, like that Rafiki's in, this huge tree. They had filled it with nets, like the whole tree. There was like five layers of nets that just existed. And so you could climb up this tree and just lay and look at all the stars and stuff, dude. It was low key one of the craziest probably Kendama events I've ever been to. That was like, you least expect it when you think you're going to like another Void event and like the competition that's tough with tough tricks and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I was vegetarian for the weekend. And but then all these crazy things come in. And I learned so many new tricks because you're forced to hang out with. I mean, you know, a lot of the people. I could start naming off the people. And so it wasn't like that eclectic. Like it was the homies who still play Kendama, you know, they're OG, but it's. They're still around, you know?
It kind of, like, what you're describing kind of reminds me a little bit of the Muso Cup that we all did.
Yeah.
We're, like, out in the middle of some places, but it was just that, but in Japan. But, yeah, it's just, it's awesome to have that kind of a retreat, you know?
It was, man. And it was like the Void's kind of, like, you know, I think he got his sixth Dawn that year, you know? So he did his huge thing, kind of his last, you know, event. And it's cool to just be part of that history. And even if it's a history that no one knows, and now you know, and yeah. like people never remember that event, but the people who are there, you know, it's like stuff that I hold dear and will never yeah. forget. And but that's why Kendama is sick, because and why you have to just go to events. Tio today, dude. Tio, if you don't know, dropped out of college and just took whatever money he had and started going to Kendama events and started to like input himself into Kendama to make himself known, not just as this human, but as someone who loves Kendama and goes to mm-hmm. every event and competes hard and like wants to be a part of something. And I was like, that's what it takes sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a crazy thing to say out loud that he did that, but look where he's at, you know, not everyone that works for, but at some point you got to take a risk. You got to take that leap. You got to like push further than you think's possible, because good things are on the other side. You know, if you can dream just big enough and
yeah, full send.
Dude, so many realizations. I feel like I'm being way too philosophical this week, but
no,
I
not
guess that's
all.
Where I'm at trying to analyze life, dude, I guess is what I've been up to lately, man. That's for sure.
100%. Yeah, it's kind of a full send, and it's everything's kind of in full send mode right now, just mm-hmm. across the board, from just with parenting is a full send, just in general. There is nothing short of a full send with parenting. And with Kendama right now, they've even like the business, the tricks, everything is full send, and everyone's just trying to figure out either how to land the trick or how to run the biz. And making adjustments to make those things happen. So it's a really interesting, unique time within Kendama. And I think just full send is where it's at.
Yeah.
And like this past weekend, like I said, my full send at the event was just really reconnecting with, I said, 2016 Weens. like 41-year-old Weens isn't going to be there. It's 2016 Weens. And I was just like, I'm going to party. I'm going to reconnect with everybody. I'm going to stay up and have conversations with people that I just met till 4 a.m. And we're just going to go for it and just chill. I showed up at the event at 1 p.m.
Dang. That has to be I almost feel like wrong you saying
yeah.
that. That's crazy.
That was me. I was like fully exercising that muscle. Like, first of all, like
tripping out.
I know. Well, Cody decided to, out of pure peer pressure, get Clay to do some drugs, and they went out and they threw discs. They did the disc golf. They were doing disc golf.
They were doing it,
and
straight to the veins.
Gucci and I just passed out. We were the only ones left in this massive house, and I was like, let's go get coffee. And you know, we went and got coffee and we hung out and we talked and chilled for an absorbent amount of time. And we had to bring Cody's Kendama to the event because Cody forgot his Kendama to the event. And you see what happens when you do disc golf? You forget your Kendama.
Your brain is a mush, dude.
Yeah, this is your brain. This is your brain on disc golf. Anyways, we got there around 1 and just walked in and just assumed the Kendama world, you know? Mm-hmm. And again, it was because like I didn't have a booth, so I didn't have that pressure. And it was just cool. I got to spend good time with Gucci. It was his first time on like a team trip with us.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just reconnecting with that part, because yeah, I feel like moving forward, like I need to really, not that I have lost any love, but I need to reconnect with that beginning essence to find out where I want to take my business and where I want to take Grain Theory. So I think that's another part of the full send, is just reconnecting. That's why I've been playing TK. It's why I've been just like, just doing stuff that I think 2016 or even 2010 Jake would do, you know?
Yeah.
So hearing your story about going out in the woods and playing Kendama makes me want to just be like, hey, let's just do a retreat. Like, not even a contest. Let's just all get together, find a cool campground, and play Kendama. Like,
yep.
That sounds like the best. Like, no cameras, nothing. Like, not even do that. Like, yeah,
Dude, what are the Indiana Lacers just announced event?
Yeah, Dom in the Pond.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of that vibe? I feel like
I think it is.
And just camp and hang out with those.
Like,
as long as they don't make me drink Miller Lite, I would love to hang with the Indiana Lacers. They're the best.
We were coursing it this whole weekend. It was great.
Well, you heard that, Shucky and Trey. We don't drink Miller Lights.
I drink Miller Lite, Shucky.
Absolute trash. Those trash humans drinking that trash beer. I love those guys.
Wow.
They couldn't pick a worse beer to love. I literally would rather drink water, and I will next time I'm hanging out with them when I'm beating them in caroms.
All right. So, Lacers, you know who's the good dad, who's the bad dad.
I'm coming at him so hard, dude.
It's good cop, bad cop. But no, yeah, that event is going to be really cool. I'm really excited for that. There's a lot of good stuff coming up, but when I talk about event, like, these are all like contest kind of based, right?
Yep.
Like, what I want to do, like my fantasy event, if someone else throws it, please do it. If not, I'll eventually do it. I want to have this mixture between like Camp Kendama, you know.
I know what you're going to say. But
also a mixture of that with like what the Gallaghers are doing, but substitute raw meat for alcohol and a few other things. And just like have a, like, we're going to go camp and everyone's going to check their freaking phones. You're not going to be able to shoot any video, take any pictures unless you have a camera. If you have a camera, you can do it, but there's going to be someone there documenting the trip. And we're all just going to like party and rage out and like have fun with Kendama and like grill some food and like have some fun and just kind of get away for a little bit with like very few restrictions, you know, and just, I don't know, burn some shit, have some fun. Like
MJR does that, I think. What's it called? I feel like he's thrown that a couple years now, but I have thought of the same exact thing, because Camp Kendama, bro, the reason we stopped doing Camp Kendama was because the camp counselors didn't actually want to counsel anyone. They wanted to kick it in the woods with their friends and film tricks. Like, and in a selfish way, that's what Camp Kendama was. We just added kids so that we can make it viable as a business idea, right? But it was why we only did it 2 years. It was so much work, so much liability, and the camp counselors ended up being the liability because the people who wanted to, let me not get anything twisted. No one did anything wrong. Nothing ever happened bad. It was just the foresight I could see. It was like, it wasn't ramping down. It was ramping up. And like the fires that the counselors would have late at night would be later and more extreme. Like it was just like, I could see it for what it was, but all that did was tick that brain thing that went, well, everyone who's allowed to drink and loves camping would in Kendama, it seems like a no brainer event. Yeah. But I think I challenge someone in Colorado to throw it.
Oh,
I think
God,
it, I think
that'd be so cool.
Stacy, I know it's not, you know, in your wheelhouse to throw an event, but I feel like if someone could do it, you could pull it off, because it Colorado camping weekend of Kendama would just be amazing.
Or it doesn't even have to be that big. I'm talking about like just grab you and like five of your friends, like, and go do it. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
oh, word.
There, like, there's events and then there's just trips. Like, sure. Like for instance, whenever we drove to Dom and the D and stopped at the dunes, like, I could have spent an entire evening at the dunes and been like, guys, let's just start a fire and like hang out here and like play Kendama and like kick it. So it's there's events. And then I feel like there needs to be like the little smaller ones that kind of get that, again, remind you of the core of it. It's like going to events is one thing, but just hanging out with your friends and playing Kendama is another thing. And well, maybe it's just me talking about this because I rarely get to just hang out with people and play Kendama. It is so rare. So rare for me. So when I go to an event, I just go crazy. And I would love just to be like, yeah, me and like five of the crew out here, we're going to schedule like a twice a year camping trip, you know, and just, we're just going to go and do stuff.
That's very cool.
Go in the dunes and camp, go to like wherever it would be.
Yeah.
But yo, give me 1 second. I'm about to pee my pants.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I just think about recreating that Musso tour event.
Yeah.
Like all of us hanging out like in that crazy part in Japan. Like that would just be, I mean, that was almost a perfect amount of people. But yeah, it's just doing stuff with your local crew and not feeling the pressure to make it an event, but just.
Yeah, isn't that crazy how my mind just automatically jumps to that without even fucking trying, bro? I wasn't even, you didn't even have to like push me even a smidge off that cliff. And I just jumped right into, well, where could we do it? Who could help run it? How many people could we get there? Oh, we're going to need buses. Like my mind just, it's so crazy how you can be conditioned to do something a certain way. I almost feel I feel like if you just are listening to this and you love Kendama and you just get to play Kendama for funsies and just buy Kendamas because you love it, cherish that feeling.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be a great one, you know?
But I guess the thing is, like, I'm also like that. And this journey that I've been on since just shutting the brand down and reconnecting is like, that's where it's gotten me. Is I'm like, yo, like, not everything has to be a business venture or some way to keep Kendama going forward or like this massive like Kendama like promotion campaign. It's like you getting five of your friends together and going camping and just having fun with Kendama will ultimately do that, but just with a small amount of people. But if a lot of people get inspired by that and keep doing it, then you've got something sustainable without making it like a sign up here and do this and do that. It's just no, man. So that's where I'm at. I'm on the soul skater. I'm like Team Puff and Suds of Kendama right now.
I like it, dude.
Yeah. So
I like it. I feel it very much, but it's hard to. Yeah, you have the. Not luxury, but like you get to feel that because you literally can, because you are forced to at the moment, right? Like yeah. That is, it's kind of insane, right? Like that you literally couldn't try as hard as you wanted to try. You couldn't feel the way you do without doing what you did, right? Yeah. Like it's A equals B, or, you know, it's like A plus B equals C, you know, you can't do one with out the yeah. other. You can't just skip the B because you don't want to deal with it. You have to like get through it. And I feel like that's a part where I'm at. Like I'm on the outside looking in with you because my company is still running. It's still like trying to rip and do all the things you just said. It's like what I think about every day is how can I keep Kendama alive? What can we do to get more people interested in it? How like that is the mantra that pushes through my head for the last 10 years, you know? So
yeah,
it's like refreshing to hear what you say, but it's also like, I feel like a robot in which it's impossible to turn that switch off and just like stop thinking that way. But you kind of got it, you know, you can't do things the same way always. Right. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And, mm-hmm. I guess I watched a bunch of videos online on branding and being a brand and just kind of like a, like not TED talkish, but just like, just talks with people. And there was somebody that said, if you own a brand and you run a brand, you are the brand. So the biggest thing you can do is invest in yourself and understand yourself. Cause the more you understand yourself, the better you'll run the brand. So it's like, okay, I need to dive deeper into why I'm so attracted to Kendama, because after doing it for so long, you're kind of like, I know I do love it, but I may have forgotten like why. And so that's where all of this comes in. And their solution was go get a therapist and talk to a therapist and understand yourself more, which also is very valid, mm-hmm. but just prioritizing understanding why you are doing what you're doing is going to help you in the long run, I feel like. And that's one of the reasons why I'm doing this, but I do have the luxury of being able to do it, but it doesn't mean that you can't take small steps to it. I don't know how, but just thinking about it, like reconnecting with it somehow, you know?
Yeah. No, a lot of things you're saying are resonating with me. That's most definite, man. And I think even talking to just all these legend interviews I've been doing and stuff, it's all it's all for a reason. It's not just because I decided to do it one day. It's all subconscious and in a different way. But someone said something the other day where it's like you, which seems so simple, but it's profound, is you don't stop getting older. You know, like it's one thing that is just true. Like there's no chance of things not changing, you know, and it's hard to I feel like we push that off, or I push that thought off as much as I can and try not to embrace it, you know? So it's like, how can you embrace it and still be who you are, even if you don't think you're that age or that thing, or, you know, or people don't know who you really are. Like there's all these thoughts, because when you say a person is a brand and whatever, my name is Sweets, right? Like it's, exactly. I have dealt with the duo personality, whatever, since, you know, it started to matter when I had to create my own account because Sweets Kendamos was bigger than Matt Jorgensen, right? Like that day I remember, because someone like Cody was like, dude, you can't just be Sweet Skidabas. Matt Jorgensen has to exist too. And I was like, what? You know, like it's like, and I feel like since that day, I'm still figuring out who Matt Jorgensen is, who Sweet Skidabas is, who Sweets is. And, but that's like, what is it? How can you be upset about that with what I've been able to accomplish and do in the last 14 years? But it is my burden to bear still, like, because no matter what anyone else at the company does, I still am Sweets, and I have to do things or say things or be a certain way.
Of course.
Just people, or at least I feel that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
It can definitely be a feeling sometimes. Like I was explaining that most of the pressure that I feel is what I put on myself. You know, it's not 100%. External. And sometimes it's just, you got to step outside of it. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you kind of need to separate it out. Cause I've also seen this as like counter, not, I don't know if it's counter, but like on like Instagram, like people are less interested in following companies and brands, and they're more interested in the owners and creatives behind the brand.
Yeah.
So like people following you is like, all right, let's find out what's really going on, you know?
Yeah.
So it just shows that people do care about what's behind the brand and who it is, which is valuable. And so that's why, again, it's important to, the more you understand yourself, the more you can project what you really want people to see and what you really want your brand to be.
Yeah. Dang. Well, welcome to Entrepreneurship 101 with Jake Wayne. This has been tape one. Flip it over for tape two, sales and marketing. No, it's good to talk through this stuff. Like I said, like for like this thing has been, it's very therapeutic to chat with you each week, because there's always things happening, and as we've alluded, this year's just nuts and Kendama, so no different on old Sweets' side. So but we keep grinding, we stay moving forward, because no matter what happens, we gotta try to push forward, because Kendama changes people's lives, and that is
okay.
For real.
Nice.
It is the realness.
The realness. Yeah, it's like a
two for looking.
Oh. Only for our Patreons.
Yeah.
Patrons.
Yeah.
So
anyways, let's we're at the end of the podcast. We haven't talked once about our children or our axolotls. So give me 2 seconds. I'm gonna update everyone. My axolotl is now 6 inches. We got it at 4 inches. We're still eating 2 worms a day, but they're in bigger chunks now because she just smashes the worms. Tank water fluctuation of temperature is a problem. It needs to stay cool. The room it's in gets really warm during the day. The air conditioner can't quite keep it down enough. So Bitsy maybe coming down to chill in the basement, but we'll see. We don't know what's going to happen. Kids are good. They're getting too big. Willow's hair is really long. Emma lost another tooth. Everyone's fine.
Yeah, same.
Do you talk to your family when you were in Detroit?
Yeah. No. Texted. Oh, dude, my house flooded. So
I hope you talk to somebody.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Got like some crazy text from Amanda just being like, the gutters are flooding. So yeah, the gutters clogged. Water came all down the windowsill because it's right above it, and flooded my office. And it went down through the air the vent into the basement, flooded part of the basement. And we're pretty sure water got in between the drywall because they didn't cap it out downstairs when they built it. And so we're just kind of like, all right, we got to dry this stuff out. And then whenever we got back, it just immediately flash flooded again. So I, against all safety regulations, climbed an aluminum ladder in a lightning rainstorm and used my bare hands to clean out a gutter so we didn't flood the house again. Dang. And got completely soaked. And this is while Gucci and Cody are still here. And they're just like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, the gutters! So
who thought, dude? Gutters, so useful. Oh, so underrated.
Man. Oh, my God. So that happened. That's when I talked to my family. And then I came home. But it was a quick trip. Like, Friday, came back Monday. I was back.
Shoot. Yeah. Just a little puddle jump.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool, so, man. Well, another week's ahead of us. Another terrific week. Weather's finally nice here. It's getting warm. Yeah. So outside. Oh, dude, have you ever just jumped 10 stairs on your rollerblades and just smashed the ground flat and just ruined your heel?
Oh, yeah. Heel bruises? Absolutely.
So,
did you skate and do that?
Yes, but today I did not skate, but the feeling was the same. When I used to do that, I was out on the one wheel because I had to go grab some stuff from the store. And since I have a one wheel now, I don't drive my car. I just take a one wheel because why not? It's fun. So the one wheels have regulations on them that like stop them, much like a golf cart from going too fast on a golf course. It's kind of like
a governor.
Yeah, there is one of those. But I found out if you push hard enough, you can force the governor pass its means and trick the computer inside the one wheel if you try hard enough. I do not advise anyone to do this because today I almost fully train wrecked on the middle of my street. Like, it was bad. It's supposed to go 16 miles an hour. I looked at my app afterwards. I was going 21.8 miles an hour.
Jeez.
On this thing. And it's not in control. It's like out of control because it's not supposed to be doing it. And I like speed wobble, and instead of like tumbling at 21 miles an hour,
you tried to run it out.
Pavement, I tried to run it out, and my first foot, like, because you know, your first foot has to be good or else you're gonna just eat it. I took the force of the 21 miles an hour on my right foot, bro, and pushed my heel into the ground so hard that like I hobbled out of it, but it was like, and the one with topples were like 8 turns. And I was like, all right, we're going to stick to 15 miles an hour. The governor's there for a reason, sweets. But I'm sitting here right now with the most sore heel. Like, it happened not more than a half hour before I came down here. And I'm like afraid to walk upstairs now and like see the damage. Cause like adrenaline's worn off a smidge. And so now I'm kind of like sitting here with a sore heel being like, oh God, I hope I can walk. Cause it was not fun.
Yeah. Now keeping up with the kids is going to be even harder.
Well, at least Alex is home, dude. At least that's home, dude. That'll be chill. Oh, I got to play golf this weekend, though. Dang. I'm going to play golf for my first time in a really long time.
Like ball golf or disc golf?
Yeah, dude.
Not you got to call it ball golf now. You
I'm
can't
trying
just
to wean
golf.
Myself off. Yeah. I'm playing ball golf with Paulson for his birthday and a bunch of homies who golf all the time. And we're going to a real nice course where you're like required to wear shit. And like, if you suck, it's going to be a long day. It's going to be a long day, chat. Let's take bets. I usually shoot 100 at courses like this. So let's take over and unders. Jake, what do you think I shoot?
Definitely under because of your heel, your injury.
Under. You think I'll
over. Sorry. Yeah.
No, that's okay. It could be under because if my heels hurt, I'm going to lay off the swing a little bit and that's usually my problem. So if my heels hurt, maybe I'll just take her easy and I'll probably shank it right into the water. Who are we kidding? All right. I'm going to go over as well. I bet I'm more like 106, but 99 would be great. And anyways,
no comment on the golf. I don't know.
I'm nervous. I think that's why I bring it because I'm gonna just mess it up, dude. And then Sunday's Mother's Day.
Oh yeah.
Did you do any Mother's Day things yet?
I've got some ideas for Sunday.
Nice. Of course you do. You're Jake Weens.
Dude, I swear to God, how? I shouldn't be frustrated about this, but it's happening. Like somehow people are finding a way to like through a back door, get on the Grand Theory and buy stuff from me.
Like we're supposed to, mother effers
supposed to be shut sales. Down. Supposed to be shut down. I have everything like blocked. Like, you can't go. You go to Grand Theory. There's nothing to click on. None of that. Like, but people are finding back doors in, man. So
making it a game.
I guess if you find your way in, I guess I'll ship it. So shout out to whoever just copped an Adrian Esteban mod.
No way. Get back to work.
I know.
And shut down for stuff. You.
Yeah. No shit.
All right, man. Well, yo, another fun week. We'll have another fun weekend. We'll let you guys know how Mother's Day goes. Shout out all the mothers out
Shout
there.
Shout out to mamas.
We wouldn't be down with stats without the mama. What's an M word in Kendama? Moshikame mamas. You know what I'm saying?
Mama moon circles.
I gotta get Alex a shirt that says Moshikame Mama Mile. That's so sick.
That's a good one. All right.
No, that's our merch. That's our first piece of merch. It has nothing to do with dads. It says Moshikame Mama, and you draw some anime girl. Just Moshikame.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay. Well, you heard it here. That's be available next week. Okay, guys. Thanks all again, right. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye, guys. Have a good day. Night, morning, bye.
Adios.